across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Live from Waukesha, Wisconsin, that is Luke Mathers. Live from Eau Claire, that is Selena Heller, Up North News reporter. Nice to have you here on this Monday, June 17th, 2024. Coming up this hour, let's take the opportunity to be candid about the candidates with Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin, who will talk about their work to remind voters about candidates' real records, not their campaign ad rhetoric, when it comes to taxes, and what we're learning about the real cost of Donald Trump's 2017 package of big tax cuts for the very wealthy. Also, the Brewers begin a week-long West Coast road trip, and we ask if you are a baseball night owl. You can call in or text your answer to 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching us on the Facebook pages for Civic Media or for Up North News and leave a comment, we'll see it and maybe put that on screen as well. Selena's joining us to talk about a couple of the stories that she's working on. Brittany Merlot is off this morning, but I can tell you that Rob from Tigerton says, good morning. It's hazy. It's humid. It's 73 degrees. Had a quarter inch of rain on Sunday. With the humid and wet weather, things will grow fast, especially the corn. They love humidity. Well, the same with our lawns. I can hear both of them growing exponentially as we speak. And what would Brittany say? Stay weather savvy, which makes sense because it suddenly got really dark here in Chippewa Falls. And so I went to pull up a radar and, oh, yeah. Yeah, Selena, I see it. Duck. Oh, wait, your home studio there is in the basement already?
Yes, I can.
I was going to say, I think I see a stairwell behind you there. Luke, of course, is fully exposed. He'd be wiped right off into Rockford or something. But
I'm like Dorothy. I'm just begging for the tornado to take me away. Come on.
But right now, basically from Ashland down to Winona, Minnesota, through Rice Lake, through Menominee, a line of very heavy thunderstorms, lots of lightning, and very minimal severe watches warnings out right now. But these are thunderstorms that are definitely going to get your attention. So, yeah, be weather savvy, and we'll keep you updated on forecasts on your local Civic Media radio station.
And I'm only kidding. This isn't Twister's promo or anything like that for the upcoming movie.
That's right. Joking. There's that coming up, isn't it?
Not good for cutting hay this week.
So. No, it really is not. We were talking to Hans last weekend. He was really hoping to get out in between the raindrops. We did the same thing yesterday with mowing our lawn because we got an inch and a half on Saturday. And so Sunday the wind is normally rather annoying, but in this case, it was our friend, because it was getting hot rapidly. So it's like, dry it out. And then we, mowed as soon as we possibly could. But yeah, I think by the end of the week here, we're supposed to be under this hot, humid pattern. And yeah, if you don't keep up to date on that mowing, you're going to need to borrow the farmer's hay wagon before too much longer here. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about National Splurge Day. What would you splurge on? What's your Powerball, dream to invest in if you were to have that winning ticket? But also, what little luxuries do you treat yourself to? Something where your penny-pinching great-grandpa who grew up during the Depression would say, in my day, we didn't have that. But, of course, now we get to enjoy so many things. In the Up North News Daily newsletter, which you can get from our website, upnorthnewswi.com, we did mention earlier that this is National Mascot Day, and it should not surprise you that Bucky Badger was a first ballot Hall of Famer when it came to the Mascot Hall of Fame, which was originated in 2006. We've got some details on that. We talk about Milwaukee, how they landed the Republican National Committee, and some people think that's good for the economy. Some people think it's not good for the city overall, just vis-a-vis Donald Trump's recent comments about Milwaukee. And then my column in there about facts versus feelings when it comes to the economy, and what people are trying to tell you may not be how things necessarily are. So that and more in our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Selena, I think we've already established that you are, I would not say a rabid follower of sports. Like when I asked Luke about staying up late when the Brewers are on the West Coast, I don't anticipate that you were necessarily one of those folks.
I did not stay up late and watch the Brewers. No.
Well, no, that's because it wasn't. This is where she is. She didn't even know that they're not on the West Coast till tonight is when the road trip starts. So
yes, that's how much. Yes, truly I did not follow the Brewers that much.
Truly wants to be left out of this one. And then I also, on this day in history, one of the things we missed was that this is the anniversary of the slow speed chase involving O.J. Simpson. On this day in 1994, we were just talking about 94 being 30 years ago today. 30 years ago today was the slow speed chase, which we know Luke was, you know, a toddler and could not be bothered to watch that. Selena, I don't know if it's in your memory hole anyplace.
Yeah, I think. Oh, gosh. Yeah, so that was okay. I remember that.
Okay.
And watched it somewhere.
It doesn't stick out as clearly, like for me, where I was at a medical residency graduation dinner, and how everybody, we noticed the room was emptying, the banquet room was emptying, and everybody was going to the bar, and we're like, I mean, were the speeches that bad? And then we go over to the bar and realize everybody has packed into the bar of this, you know, conference center or golf course or whatever it was to watch the slow speed chase.
And they were hoping they would do that during his funeral or
procession. Yes. Yeah.
I hate to break it to you, Pat, as well. I was not even a toddler. I don't even know if I could hold my own head up at that point. Like I was like months old.
Okay. Well, thanks for playing along anyway.
You're
welcome. Appreciate it very much.
All right. I just wanted to set the record straight. That's all.
Yeah. Good. Thanks for that. You know, Luke's the kind of guy that would, you know, normally be sent to summer school for that kind of behavior. But summer school is not what it used to be, Selena. Summer school used to be seen as punishment.
Yeah, it's not and all it's, remedial.
No, it's more of an opportunity now. And you kind of did a little bit more about summer school and the many benefits, not just from an educational standpoint, but frankly, for things like, you know, child care and food insecurity. What all did you do your story on?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I went at the Osseo School District and just down the road here from Eau Claire. And like you said, the school, summer school is just not math and reading anymore. It is so many things, fun classes. And when I talked to the kids here, oh, my gosh, they told me all about what fun things they get to do in summer school and how important it is for them. And this is one little girl. She had a lot to say and
about summer school. And then we'll talk about the food in there as well. But let's see what she had to say about summer school.
There's a lot of fun projects. And at the end of every month, there's a fun field trip you get to go on. I really enjoyed going on the field trips. There's new ones every year. I love all the fun projects. And at the end of summer, there's a big thing where you go out into the football field and they have sprinklers and then you play in the sprinklers all day. And then at the end of swimming lessons, there's a full day where you stay at the Osseo pool.
Luke, we totally missed out. They had no point in not summer school or any point at all where they were like, hey, run onto the football field. We're going to turn on all the sprinklers.
You missed out because this is what summer school was like for me. My parents used to take us to summer school because they just, like, both of my parents were working nurses. So throughout the summer, they didn't have the ability to just be able to stay home all the time with us. So I attended summer school regularly and I was an excellent student. It wasn't because I was being held back or anything like that. I just like going to the classes, the programs and all that stuff.
Like I said, it is just that much different now, you know, compared to back in my day. But again, Selena, we hear about this every year about how there are families when summer comes and school lunch goes away, you know, the kids lose out on some hot meals.
Right. And in Osseo, they told me that like 80 to 90% of the elementary kids go to summer school. That's a big percentage because of all of the things, childcare in Osseo, there aren't there isn't other programming there. So that's the resource that they have. There's no Boys and Girls Club, you know, it's a rural area. So there just aren't options. And there's like one or two licensed daycare facilities and a few in-home, but not a lot. So there's a lunch program. Wisconsin has opted into this USDA Sun Meals program. It's the USDA Summer Nutrition Program for kids. So anybody 18 and under can go to a school in the summer and get lunch and breakfast for free.
You don't have to be part of the class necessarily.
Right. Yeah. Okay. They told me they had like Bible school kids come and just daycare kids come, mm-hmm. because 18 and under, you get a free meal. Great. So that's how they're keeping kids fed throughout the summer. So these school programs are very important that way too.
And I guess the kids like that as well.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the meals. And I was there during a lunchtime and I saw they had pizza and all sorts of fruits and vegetables that day. So it was pretty good. And it was noisy in there. They were just, oh my gosh, it was interesting. But here's the same little girl talking about her favorite lunch and breakfast.
Favorite is probably teriyaki chicken, and then breakfast is like it's like a waffle breakfast sandwich. So it's like a waffle, and then it like is soaked in like a maple syrup. So it has like a hint of maple syrup into it.
Listen to this girl. I want her. I mean, Selena, you can keep Mondays, but I think I found a new Tuesday correspondent here. She's really good.
Of maple syrup.
Yeah, that's awesome because, again, for those reasons that we have discussed, and it just seems that much more, I guess, offensive or cruel that you have school districts, you know, only a handful, but you have some school districts like opting out of the school lunch program entirely because, you know, that's a government giveaway or something.
There are a dozen states, I think, that have not opted into the program.
Yeah. And by the way, that too is part of the Farm Bill. When we talk about Congress and the Farm Bill, school nutrition programs are wrapped up into that along with other nutrition assistance programs. So when you hear about the Farm Bill, don't let your eyes glaze over. These are important issues in many ways, especially for, you know, families that want their kids to be fed. We're going to talk about air shows next, correct?
Sure. Yes,
all right.
We are.
You hang out for that. We'll talk about the Brewers wrapping up their series against Cincinnati at home. And then before they hit the road, they're heading out to L.A. to play the Angels tonight. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow. To say we'll see you in September and everybody go on their summer vacation, and now everybody's going to summer school, it seems. All the cool kids are doing that. There is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 7:45 for western Pepin and Pierce counties. Severe thunderstorms located along a line extending from near Ellsworth to Plum City to Pepin. This line is moving northeast at 60, or I'm sorry, the line is moving northeast at 45 miles an hour. You could see 60 mile an hour wind gusts. So again, get set to get away from those windows and head to an interior room as this line of strong storms moves through. A lot of western central Wisconsin is under a severe thunderstorm watch until 10:30. So another summertime activity when the weather is nicer is to have these air shows. And Selena, you have been either a part of covering or helping plan an air show in the Chippewa Valley for however many years now, and La Crosse is getting ready to do the same. And I have to think, because I was there at the time, but I think this all started with you riding with the Blue Angels for the first time or something. Do you remember when that was?
Oh my goodness.
I have to do, while she thinks of the year, I have to set the scene to say that in the newsroom. I hear you.
There are warning sirens.
I do. I hear you.
It's right across the street, so it's very loud.
You were telling me that your siren is very loud, and now there's absolutely no doubt about it. Okay. Let's see. And in fact, here's, Oh, that's a flood watch that I've got going, so I'll refresh that. Just by saying that, again, you were riding with the Blue Angels way back when, because we had a pod of desks in the center where the anchors would sit, and then the reporters were kind of in a ring around us. And basically the attitude at the time was, if there was some kind of a weird, unusual story, it was, let Selena do it. Selena was the one who would take on these stories. It's like, hey, there's an air show. They're letting somebody ride the Blue Angels. Let Selena do it. She'll say yes.
Yeah, I just did whatever. I did a lot of things. Hot dog eating contest.
Oh, weird. My goodness.
All sorts of odd things. Yeah, I have great stories.
Oh, God.
So I had a coworker who always wanted it when I worked at City Hall after that. She always wanted to ride with me because of the weird stories.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
So, yes, I got to ride with just on Fat Albert, which you wouldn't think is too, you know, bad of getting sick, but I got sick with Fat Albert. The C-130, the cargo carrier, the big.
Go figure. And if that, I can only imagine what the Blue Angels would do. Here's the details on the severe thunderstorm warning that you're hearing the siren behind Selena right now. It is in effect until 8:15, until northeastern Pepin County, southern Dunn County, southwestern Chippewa County, and all of Eau Claire County. Severe thunderstorms are located along a line from near Medina to near Plum City. Again, the line is moving northeast at 45 miles an hour with 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Severe thunderstorms will be near Ogalle and Durand within the moments here. By Menominee by 7:35, Eau Claire Elk Mound, you can expect to see this line at its most severe at 7:50. Colfax 7:55, Lake Halley Fall Creek around 8 a.m., and Chippewa Falls around 8:05. Other locations impacted by the storm would include Cedar Falls, Carrieville, Tainter Lake, Arkansas, Foster, Brackett, Downsville, Weston, and the Menominee Airport. If you're on the interstate, this would affect the areas between mile markers 41 and 86, or on Highway 53 between mile markers 86 and 89. So again, a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Pepin, southern Dunn, southwestern Chippewa, and all of Eau Claire County, which is why, going back to Selena Heller, you hear the sirens and where she's going to be super duper careful. And if, you know, if things go out, then we'll know the power was an issue. And on a much lighter note, I will continue gazing out the window at my garbage cans and hope that they don't cause a big mess for me to have to deal with here.
Henry always makes lists of when there's a storm warning, what we have to bring downstairs with us to go into the bathroom. Last time it was whiskers, of course, milk. Chocolate stars.
Yes.
Blanket. That's our list.
I can't argue with her list one bit.
Milk and
this
chocolate.
This is a quality list. Luke's nodding. He's like, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
no notes. Perfect list.
No notes. Yep, that's exactly it.
Something to stay hydrated and a little snack. No notes from this Eagle Scout.
Yep,
excellent list.
Yeah. Yep. Pillow and blanket. Take a little nap there while you're doing it. So anyway, you brought up the air show because La Crosse is planning one too.
They had theirs this past weekend.
Oh, it was this past weekend. Okay.
Yeah, it was the Deke Slayton Air Fest. So at the La Crosse Regional Airport, held on French Island. So they had a sellout day on Saturday, and I think it had a little rain on Sunday, unfortunately, but they draw a big crowd. And of course they featured the Blue Angels, the U.S. Air Force F-22 Raptors, and a demonstration team. And so lots of fun there. And of course, air shows are just great. Our Chippewa Valley Air Show is set for next June 28th and 29th, 2025. So that will be right here.
Okay. And so they won you over. You helped to plan some of this now?
Now I help to plan. Yes.
Because if I help them plan, I get to stay on the ground and not throw up.
No, I have still gone up. I went one year. Oh my gosh. So there's a Jelly Belly trick plane. He won't be coming back next year because he's retiring now. He was this older guy and he had this Jelly Belly trick plane that went upside down. And oh my goodness. So one time I went up with him and I don't like to be in the air at all. And he's like, okay, now you're taking the controls. And I'm like, nope, I have nothing interested about, nothing. But he did. And then so I'm driving the plane.
At this point, he puts his parachute on, he jumps out. He's like, come on, Selena, you got this.
What he did, he was sitting in front of me and he held his hands up like, I am not touching the steering apparatus, so you are. And so I was driving, steering this plane, and I was like, oh my heavens, I don't want to be doing this. So, and then he turned around and he said, oh, you look a little green. I'll take over now.
Oh, gosh.
So then he did barrel rolls, and then we plummeted to the ground, and oh, my gosh. Then we landed, and I got out, and I just sat on the ground, and then the rest of my air show team was like, did you get sick this time? And I was like, I didn't get sick, but I don't want to do that again.
And yet, next June, when some handsome pilot comes up and says, would you like to fly with me? Yes, I would. So I can absolutely see it. Selena, thank you for sharing that. And watch out for those storms as they approach Eau Claire. Take care out there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Go look out the windows. Thanks.
Yeah, let's not give you anything else that causes you to get sick, that's for sure. The Brewers beat the Cincinnati Reds yesterday, wrapping up a homestand, winning 4 out of 6, taking 2 out of 3 from the Reds. The Brewers won 5-4 thanks to a Willie Adames 3-run home run in the 6th inning. And then the game ended with Blake Perkins in center field throwing out a runner at home to end the game. So the Brewers have now taken each of the last 8 series against Cincinnati, and the Brewers lead the NL Central by 6.5 games now. Next, they begin a 7-game road trip out west, 3 games in Los Angeles against the Angels, followed by 4 games in San Diego. Carlos Rodriguez will take the mound for the Brewers tonight. All 5 of the weeknight games this week in L.A. and in San Diego start at around 8:40. And you can hear those games on Civic Media radio stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. We'll talk about political rhetoric versus records with Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin next. You're up north.
To this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose its health in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a
We'll talk about Opportunity Wisconsin coming up in just a moment. First, the latest on severe weather statements in the area at 7:35 now on Up North News Radio. The severe weather storm warning for Trempealeau County has been issued until 8:15. Again, that's until 8:15 for Trempealeau County, along with the one that we already mentioned for parts of Chippewa, Dunn, Eau Claire, and Pepin County as well. And we'll keep you up to date on those as a line of severe weather rolls through the area. For all the talk about taxes that is going to come from candidates over the course of the coming months here, perhaps one of the more unusual ideas we've heard comes from former President Donald Trump, who talks about maybe getting rid of the income tax and just replacing it with tariffs. Tariffs, which are taxes on imported goods, which Donald Trump continues to sell as somehow being a tax on China and other countries. What he doesn't tell you is that tariffs are taxes on you, the consumer, because the company or the country paying the tariff is going to pass that on in the form of higher prices. And as you know, one of my favorites on social media posted, if Joe Biden proposed eliminating the federal income tax and replacing it with tariffs, business media would be losing their bleeping minds. Well, over the weekend, a few more business media outlets have in fact talked about how crazy that would be for the economy. For one thing, you're looking at, if you were to get rid of the income tax, you'd be looking at a tariff of about 85% on goods. And think about just how many goods you now rely on from other countries because of the way manufacturing has been outsourced for the past generation or so. That's just one example of, again, where political rhetoric may not reflect reality or their record. And for that and more, we're going to talk to Megan Rowe, who's the program director for the group Opportunity Wisconsin. Megan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, good. You know, we've got a pretty good thunderstorm rolling through here up in Chippewa Falls, but hopefully folks are taking heed and using good caution on that. But, you know, that otherwise we continue following what all these groups are talking about, what they're saying, what these candidates want to do. And so I wanted to learn more about what Opportunity Wisconsin sees as its mission to kind of make sure that economic messaging is on the up and up, shall we say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having us. As you said, I'm Megan Rowe, Program Director with Opportunity Wisconsin, and we are a nonpartisan issue advocacy organization. And so we do work across the state to connect with folks to help them lift their voices and share their stories to advocate for policies that support working families and seniors across the state. And so we have been working since early 2020 on this mission. And over the last year, we've specifically been working to hold Brian Steil, Congressman Brian Steil, and Congressman Derek Van Orden accountable on some of these economic policies, as you mentioned.
And you do that for what reason? I mean, I kind of hinted at it already with the rhetoric versus the record, but when you cite Steil and Van Orden, you know, as relatively new members of Congress in battleground districts, what do you feel, how are you filling in the blanks for the voters there compared to what they may be hearing from the incumbent and the special interest money behind them?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things that, as I mentioned, is a through line for us is talking about policies that impact working families and seniors. And over the last year, we really have felt that both Congressman Steil and Van Orden have taken votes or have been silent on issues that are really impacting folks across the state, particularly in the 3rd and the 1st congressional districts. And so we've been working over the past year to connect with constituents, to educate them about these votes that are coming up in Congress and helping them raise their voice and make sure that they are heard on these issues.
So one of your latest projects, as you mentioned, with Congressman Steil, is a new ad that is talking about whether credit card companies should be allowed to charge higher fees. And so what are you saying about you know, those members of Congress when it comes to the fees that credit card companies have been attaching onto our bills for years, it seems like?
Sure. Well, we all know that costs are high in some areas, and you know, we want to make sure that policies are enabling working families and seniors to be able to put food on the table to make ends meet. And the last thing we need is, you know, another fee taking away money that would otherwise go to pay our medical bills or buy groceries. And so recently, Congressman Steil took a vote in committee that would have allowed credit card companies to continue charging exorbitant late fees on working families and seniors. And so it really boggles the mind why someone would think that was good policy. And so we recently launched an ad, as you mentioned, to hold him accountable for that vote and encourage him, should this vote come before the full House, to change his stance on this issue.
And so the campaign that you mentioned, you tell us more about it in an opinion column that you can find over at upnorthnewswi.com. The headline is 1 year later, Representative Steil and Van Orden still owe Wisconsinites answers about how they will fight for working families. And the things that they need to do. Now, you talk about holding events and doing campaigns and highlighting the importance of these policies. I know that if Congressman Van Orden or Steil were to be asked about this, they would, and this just goes to show you how legislation, you know, they give it every possible kind of name. Mm-hmm. They've got one that they call the Limit, Save, Grow Act of 2023. And again, when you have that kind of packaging, and then you see the commercials like, you know, Tammy Baldwin voted against the Limit, Save, Grow Act, or whatever the case may be. But the Limit, Save, Grow Act is not, the packaging does not necessarily tell you the whole story.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we can call it the Puppies and Rainbows Act of 2023. But colloquially, it was the Default on America Act, because if your listeners will recall, you know, there was a period about a year ago, where it felt like every week we were talking about the government shutting down and how it would impact Wisconsin workers and families and, you know, members of Congress, particularly Congressman Steil and Van Orden, were just digging their heels in and were refusing to compromise and refusing to support policies that would benefit the folks in their district. And instead, you know, they voted for this Limit, Save, Grow Act or the Default on America Act, which would have cuts to veterans benefits, reduced access to Social Security and Medicare, slashing of food assistance, and so much more. And so the two of them both voted for that, which thankfully, you know, with President Biden in the White House, that was never going to become law. But those are the types of votes that we're reminding constituents about as we help them share their stories and make sure that they're being heard by their members of Congress.
And it's not just the things that they are proposing, but the things that are maybe coming back up for renewal, specifically the Trump-era tax plan, which folks will recall Ron Johnson was instrumental in helping, you know, skew part of that tax break for something that helped, you know, put money in his pocket. But with Trump saying, well, it was a big success and we'll renew it if you elect me, we're finding out now that the actual price tag of that 2017 law, which was once said it would blow a $1 trillion hole in the deficit, and then the estimate went up to $2 trillion. The estimates are now, Megan, if I'm not mistaken, tickling $4 trillion. And if anybody had known that that was the price tag in 2017, you know, if they'd have been more honest about it, I don't think this thing would have necessarily passed the way it did.
Yeah, I would like to think that as well. But I think I've learned over the last several years that I can't predict anyone's actions in Congress anymore. But you're right. You're absolutely right. I think as folks were saying back then, this is going to be a huge problem for our country economically. And we're seeing that to be the case. And to make matters worse, instead of members of Congress coming to the table and saying, hey, let's tweak this. Maybe we can change some of the policies a little bit so it's not going to be such a hit to our economy. We have congressional Republicans that are full steam ahead on expanding some of these provisions and making them permanent, all the while refusing to do things like renewing the expanded child tax credit or some of the other tax policies that we know actually benefit Wisconsin workers and families.
That is such an excellent point that, you know, when the extended child care or child tax credit expired, and they're like, well, it's expired and child poverty went right back up. They could have extended it, but they chose not to. And yet in your op-ed that folks can find over at upnorthnewswi.com, you ask very fair questions such as, why do Congressman Steil and Van Orden still fight to extend Trump-era tax breaks for those at the top? Is that something that, in fact, they are continuing to sponsor and support?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you know, both Congressman Steil and Congressman Van Orden love to, you know, jump on their media outlets of choice and share their views on different things, but happen to remain silent when it comes to this idea of the Trump era tax policies benefiting the wealthy and well-connected and leaving working Wisconsinites behind. And not only that, they refuse to comment on all these policies, as you mentioned, the expanded child tax credit, that have proven to lift something, you know, upwards of 50% of children out of poverty. They refuse to comment on those policies that are actually benefiting their constituents, but will love to talk about how they're going to continue to put money in the pockets of the wealthy and well-connected.
Coming back to things that they could have supported and choose not to, a lot of it centers around the Inflation Reduction Act, which, as we discussed last week with Melissa Baldoff, you know, don't let the name fool you. Obviously, it was to target inflation, but it is a catch-all for so many things. Much of the time, we talk about climate issues that are in there and job creation. We have talked about Medicare being able to negotiate prescription drug prices, but in your column on our website, your very first a question that you ask is, why does Congressman Steil continue to oppose capping insulin costs, which was going to be a big feature of the Inflation Reduction Act? It had to be brought down to, you know, Medicare recipients, but you could broaden that if Congressman Steil and others wanted to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this has kind of been a tenet of our program over the last year, is to really highlight this fact, because it impacts so many Wisconsin seniors. And Congressman Style likes to do a little song and dance and try to parse out why he didn't support it. And, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, you know, he had the opportunity to bring down costs for seniors on Medicare, and he chose not to. And so, and he continues to refuse to do that. He's had the opportunity to bring those costs down. And so our work will continue to focus on holding him accountable for this vote and others he has taken on refusing to bring down costs for folks in his district.
Another feature of the Inflation Reduction Act was making sure that there was a minimum tax on corporations, and so that they couldn't use loopholes and other tricks to effectively pay no taxes for all the benefits that they get of being a corporation here. Those are the kinds of things in the Inflation Reduction Act that if that were repealed, that provision of it would be repealed as well. So when it comes to the tax revenue that could, you know, strengthen Medicare and Social Security and make sure corporations pay their fair share, you ask again fairly in there whether they support what President Biden is proposing in a 2025 budget, which would, you know, do all of those things about, you know, corporate taxes, strengthen Medicare, strengthen Social Security. This doesn't sound like a gotcha question. It sounds like a pretty fair thing anybody should be asking their local congressperson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we work, you know, and talk to folks all around the state who are advocating for things like lower healthcare costs or more fair tax policies or some of the things we talked about earlier, we hear from folks like Congressman Style and Congressman Van Orden who just throw up their hands and say, how are we going to pay for this? We don't have the money for this. And, you know, I think the first thing we can do is look at the money we're putting in the pockets of the wealthy and well-connected. That certainly can be used to pay for some of these programs. And I think there's an incredible imbalance in the priorities of folks like Congressman Style and Congressman Van Orden when it comes to policies that are benefiting the working folks in the state versus the wealthy and well-connected.
And to learn more about what Opportunity Wisconsin is doing, go to opportunitywisconsin.org. Megan Rowe, Program Director, thank you very much for the visit. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You have a great day. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week after this. You're up north. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joins us now. Terry, how was your weekend?
It was really nice, Pat. Yeah, but warm.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, I was up at a press box at a baseball game yesterday, and, you know, I probably lost about a fair amount of water weight.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. And it's going to be that way for a while here, it appears, as we continue tracking what the humid weather is bringing, which in this case is some severe weather. Nothing new in terms of severe thunderstorm warnings, but we'll continue watching a line that moves through western Wisconsin and give you updates across your Civic Media radio station, the same place where you can find Civic Media radio news updates, and that's what Terry joins us for. Three things you need to know to start the week. We have talked so much about the financial and demographic troubles facing colleges and universities of all sizes. And again, we saw this coming with the baby boom, but then you add on the pandemic, and then you add on diminished state support for some of these college and universities, and it just makes things tougher and tougher. And now we have to add a new list of college and universities that are really going through some tough financial times right now.
Yeah, so as we always talk on Monday morning, and as it is, we kind of carry over from the Friday news dump, if you will. And
yeah.
Late on Friday, we heard that Alverno College in Milwaukee, a private school in Milwaukee, is going to do some trimming, laying off people, about 37 people, and cutting majors and graduate programs too. In fact, 25 grad students are going to have to try to get their master's degree somewhere else now.
Ooh.
But yes, you're right. There is this whole trend happening right now, and it's not just state schools. It's private schools like Alverno, and there have been some cutbacks at places like St. Norbert up by Green Bay and Viterbo and La Crosse. In addition to the school, the two-year UW schools that have been closing around Wisconsin, six since last year. Times are tough for higher education in Wisconsin. There's no question.
No. And there's, again, there's no easy answer to this. Which when people go, why didn't they plan better for this? Probably because there was no easy answer. It's just that, you know, the answers got even more elusive thanks to the factors that I mentioned earlier. Folks watching on the video feed should know that Terry Bell is not subjected to severe weather. He's just such a diligent worker that the motion sensor lights, you know, went dim because he just sits at his desk so
quietly.
Our
motion sensor lights do their job a little too well sometimes.
It's very, very energy efficient over there where Terry is. Second on the list of things you need to know is... former President Donald Trump is coming to Wisconsin. He's going to stand in the middle of Milwaukee and say, I apologize for calling this a horrible city. This is a great... No, wait. I'm looking... No, he's going to be in Racine, not Milwaukee, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, a lot of people find it interesting that it's going to be in Racine, of all places, where President Biden just was, to point out, the difference between the Microsoft success and what many would say was Foxconn's failure in Racine. So we'll see what the president has to say. It's his first visit to Wisconsin since being, you know, convicted for several felonies. And also for the first time since, as you mentioned, he made some comments about Milwaukee last week that made the news for a couple of cycles, and that he's kind of backtracking a little bit. And there are also, you know, differing accounts as to what he exactly said in that meeting with Republicans on Capitol Hill. But it'll be interesting. Racine, you know, people ask, why go to Racine? Why go to the scene of Foxconn? My guess is that Donald Trump just cannot resist. You know, when he gets poked, he feels the need to respond. He feels the need to poke back, and that may be why he's going to be in Racine.
Well, it's going to keep you and every other journalist busy, because I say this with a very solid record behind me, Donald Trump needs to be fact-checked, and he is quite likely to say things. For example, find ways to blame others for what Foxconn was unable to do, which, again, these were big promises. It was Trump himself who said it was going to be the eighth wonder of the world. And so I am quite certain that tomorrow, I mean, his words will have to be parsed very specifically about Foxconn and about the Racine area. He'll say other stuff about other things. He always does. But that to me... First off, I don't know why Trump, anybody on Trump's team would tell him going back to the Foxconn area is a good idea. But if ever there were a place where he'd want to make sure not to say something that's going to get fact checked, that would be the place, because folks like you are not going to be just, you know, you're not playing the role of stenographer tomorrow. That's for sure.
And you never can at these things. Right. And that's, as you say, that's based on the track record.
Yeah. Third thing you need to know is about coming up to Milwaukee and the Republican National Convention. And there continues to be a lot of concern about the security zone, the protest zone. And this is an issue at every convention, especially in this day and age. But it just seems to be, maybe it's because we're in the state where it is, but it does seem to be a little more contentious than past conventions.
Right. So what the Secret Service has established, different zones for levels of security, and the Republican National Committee has been pushing back on the Secret Service plans since the beginning of this process. They want the security zone pushed farther out, and in particular, they want the protest zone pushed farther back. They say it's too close to FISA form now, and that the potential for some, you know, ugly confrontations is too great with the protest zone where it is now. So we should find out any day now what the Secret Service's final plans are. Senator Ron Johnson went on Channel 12's Upfront program in Milwaukee. It's the Sunday morning show of record in Wisconsin in the estimation of many. So, you know, he's sounding that alarm on a very big stage right now.
I'm gonna make a valid point from a journalistic standpoint, but pardon me just a moment while I step over here and editorialize that these are the same people who, when women are going into clinics facing excruciating medical decisions, they talk about their First Amendment right. And that includes a First Amendment right, apparently, to taunt and jeer women going into clinics. But apparently they don't want to face protesters who are exercising their First Amendment rights going into a political convention. Now I turn back to Terry and go, hey, Terry, this protest zone, it's really about the First Amendment rights of people to protest something at the site without feeling like they got to be bussed 5 miles away from the site.
And that's what civil libertarians are making that exact case, that, you know, they have a right to be heard and seen. And then if they're pushed further back, their impact would be, marginalized considerably. Yeah.
And so that between that and, of course, other safety concerns is what's going to continue to be discussed. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat.
Mr. Mathers, we'll see you tomorrow morning, I gather.
That is correct. See you
all
then.
All right. Look forward to that. Tomorrow, National Splurge Day. We'll talk about the little luxuries you give yourself. In the meantime, stay tuned to your Civic Media station for the latest and severe weather updates. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you here up north tomorrow morning.